I'm starting to read from Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's turn to John chapter 14 and verse 17. I said 14, verse 17. 14, 21, please. 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. All right, let's see what the Lord has for us today. We're teaching on the power of love. And this is lesson number 36. We're just about at the end of this. And this is part number 11 called Possessing Your Mountain. Possessing Your Mountain. All right. Now, the idea. What's the idea here? The idea is that you and I were born again. And when we got born again, we got placed into the kingdom of God. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we've been delivered. I said we've been delivered. And we're in the new kingdom now. This is the kingdom of his dear Son, and this is the place of freedom. Amen. And so now, as we're in this new kingdom, everything changes. Because when the kingdom of God comes, everything changes. So now we do things differently than we did before. Because before, if somebody did something to us, We would dot the I. No, that's kidding. That's not, don't put that down there. The Bible tells us now to love our enemies. And the idea about that is that this, in the system that we came from, really doesn't seem like it's using good sense. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, I'll start there. He says, the Bible says something like this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So you have a new teacher. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Now, he's going to be tutoring you into greatness. I said, he's going to be tutoring you into greatness. And he knows exactly what your ins and outs are, what you've been through, and what you your experiences are, your idiosyncrasies. He knows exactly all of that, but he's going to make a leader out of you. He's going to make a ruler out of you. He's going to make a royalty out of you, and so forth and so on. So some of the things that that you used to do, you're going to lose a desire to do those things anymore. Now, some of them going to hang around like unwanted relatives, but then you can just know that they're going to fall off as you keep going here. So my point to you is that this is a new season in your life. That God is doing something extremely new, extremely rich, and believe me, it's something that will make you much, much better. So you have to just follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Let's go and continue that reading up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. And he says, but the natural man, the natural part of you, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So I just want to let you know that the world itself pretty much is walking in darkness. And the Bible even talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So notice what he's saying here, the rulers of the darkness of this world. So there are rulers in the darkness of this world trying to keep this world under Satan's control. But the problem is you've come on the scene. Come on, exit stage right. And you've come on the scene and you're coming in here with more power than Satan has. As a matter of fact, you can bind him and loose good in the earth. Am I right about it? You've come with something called faith that no devil can stop. And this is what God wants in this hour. This is a new day for the church. As a matter of fact, it's a new time that this church now, our season has come. And amen. And we have been prophetically packaged to lead the world. Wow. Because they're running out of answers. I mean, they don't have some of the answers that need to be had in this time. And, you know, the creation of the world was not God's last work. The last work was the creation of the blessing. And he blessed you with that blessing. And that blessing enables you to go into the worst parts of the earth and turn them into the Garden of Eden. That blessing does. That's a power of that blessing. But it's on your life. All right, let's try to keep this down here where you can grab hold to it. Praise God. All right, so the works of darkness. And what we've been doing here, we've been talking about possessing your mountain. And what is the mountain? The mountain is actually the sphere of influence that the world has. And the Bible talks about seven pillars. Talks about it in Proverbs chapter 9, I think in verse 1. But seven pillars, and these seven pillars, a pillar is something that holds something up. So if I'm going to hold up a society, I need a pillar under this thing. So this pillar is what God used to hold it up. So what we did is we talked about these, that there's a pillar or a mountain of media, a mountain of education, mountain of economics, mountain of government, all these mountains. And one of these mountains you're going into. I don't know which one God has for you, but you're going into one of these mountains. God has purposed you and gifted you to be able to serve in one of these mountains. Now, when you go into these mountains, you're going to go in there kind of obscure. In other words, nobody's going to really know what you're like. But you're like this guy we call Top Cat, who grew up, he grew up in the city where I was in Tuskegee. And Top Cat came one time. We were out there drag racing. It was illegal, but I was unsaved. And we were drag racing. And so Top Cat comes out there with this old car, but he's going to drag race, and whoever gets to the end finish line first wins the money. But he comes out there with the old car, and he now lines up. We line up on the line. Boom, we go and drag race. And next thing we know, Top Cat wins, takes everything. But he comes back up, and we all look out right around his car to see what he's got. Well, he's been in the woodshed. He's taken his car, and it's an old car, but we lift up the hood, and everything is sparkling brand new. So something is under your hood. You may look old and worn, but there is something under there that the devil gonna have to deal with. Say amen. So you are winners. You were born a winner. God has equipped you to win. And not win a few, lose a few. That is not scriptural. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So, you and I are being sent. Where? Into the world. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. Deliberately. Now understand that in the world, there are spiritual forces directing the world's activity. In other words, those spiritual forces are operating against the people who don't know God in a way that they are not even aware of it. As a matter of fact, here's a scripture for you. It's found in Luke's Gospel, in Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and verse 34. And this is what Jesus said. He's hanging on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they what? They know not what they are doing. Now, isn't it interesting? Here's some people that are killing Jesus. I mean, they're hanging him on the cross and destroying him, but they didn't know they were doing wrong. Now, I'm saying that it's amazing how people can be deceived. The Bible says Eve was deceived in the garden. It says Adam wasn't, but Eve was. So meaning that she and he were eating of fruit that God told him not to eat of, but she didn't know she was doing wrong. Now, he knew it, but she didn't know. And when you're deceived like that, you can be real passive. You can be real passionate about something that's wrong. Really, I mean, you somebody says something you don't like, you get them walk out, and it's the truth. And I'm telling you, that's why, because sometimes they talk about me, you know, Patsy down there telling you all everybody's healed. Well, the Bible says that. No, it says here, it says right over here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says that what does it say? It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, live into righteousness, by his stripes, you were healed. Now, when I tell you that, I'm not talking from my own authority. I am the messenger. So if you got something to say, don't be talking about me. My point to you is talk about Jesus. He said that this is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not saying this for me. I'm saying it this for him, because I'm the preacher. I'm the one that's supposed to give you the truth. Isn't that good? Look what he said in John chapter 15 now, and verse 25, John 15 and verse 25. You've seen these before, but I'm just refreshing you, because now you got born again, you're not on the devil's team anymore. Amen. And the Bible says, the last line, they hated me without a cause. So there are people at your job may not like you and don't know why. And you haven't done anything to them or anything. They just don't like you. Yes. Amen. I think I'm saved, and there's some people I still don't like. I just can't see that. See, I just try to see where you at. No, but my point to you is, wait. Now, wait a minute. We can love the unlovable, because we have the capacity to do that now. We didn't have that capacity before. I love you. How do you know you can love somebody and not like them? Okay, that's what I was talking about. All right, okay. I got some believers in here now. All right. Okay, now, what am I saying? I'm saying now we're going to be dispatched into darkness, into places where people don't know what they're doing. And what is happening with this is not, this is a cultural thing. This is a cultural shift. In other words, what happens is Adam was in the garden, and he was to bring forth a culture, the culture of the Garden of Eden. He was to cultivate it on the rest, into the rest of the world. But sin came in. Iniquity was found in him. Now he's got a different nature. So Satan is using that nature to cultivate his kingdom. And that is the kingdom of darkness. And the things that Satan is cultivating are things that are against God. He can't let God in there. See, if Satan has a culture and lets God in, then his culture will begin to shift. Make sense to you? Yeah, it'll begin to shift. I mean, here is the enemy. He's created a culture. He's created something. And so people got to keep God out. Get God out of the media. Get him out of Hollywood. Get him out of the school now. Get him out of there, because I want to cultivate killing in school. Get him out. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying get him out, because the works of Satan are hatred and murder and killing and so forth and so on. So get this Bible out of here. Now, not only does he get people to start thinking to get it out, but then he gets the lawmakers to make a law to keep it out. So now there's a law that I can't pray anymore in schools. So you're coming in there. Now, he that has my commandments, this is John chapter 14 and verse 21. He that has my commandments, now that doesn't necessarily mean the Ten Commandments. That means anything God tells you to do, because you are on assignment from God. So he that has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I'll love him, and what'll I do? I'm going to manifest myself to him. If he just keeps my commandments. Now, you can't do it without faith. So you going in here by faith, believing in God, and God is going to direct you into what to do. So an example of that we showed you is Daniel. Coming over there to Daniel chapter 6, please. Over in Daniel chapter 6, what we saw is that a law was made. A law was made. Now, you have to realize that this, in these last days, this is one of the main targets of demonic abuse, is going to be the justice system. I said the justice system. And the justice system is part of kingdom manifestation. Glory to God. You remember what he said? Thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be what? Done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. So God wants earth to be like what? Heaven. And you are the representatives here with the faith to make it happen. Say amen to this. Now, he knew that Satan was going to work his culture over this planet. So he's saying, hey, I'm coming in with a counterculture. I'm going to take them back to the garden, but I'm going to use my representatives to do it. Now, understand, they're not going to be acting on their own. They're going to be representing me. So as we are reps for Jesus, we're going out here, come on now, and we're going to do what he says. So we're going to speak when he says speak. Come on, act when he says act. Come on, because Daniel and the three Hebrews now, they were taken from Judah and brought into captivity in Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And now they're brought into Babylon. And now they're working directly in the king's staff or whatever have you. And things are going fine. You know, they're going to the office parties and so forth. You know, not getting drunk, but going to the office party. But now there comes a law. And this law says in Hebrews chapter, well, let's take the first one, Daniel chapter 3. There's a law says when you hear the sound of this music, bow down to this statue. Well, wait a minute. That violates the law of the government that they came from. And the law of the government that it came from says that you shall not bow down to any other gods. So what am I going to do? If I run up on the law that says you should do this, and the law that I came from says you should do that, what am I going to do? That. I'm going to represent the kingdom by which I came from, because its power is so powerful that if I stand on its command, it will convert where I am. Now, this is what you got to get, neighbors. This is why I'm pulling you here. You are not here by coincidence. You're here because BW has a word for you. And the word that I've got for you is the fact that God has chosen you for this hour, that he's going to have the finest display of his kingdom power through you in this hour. The church is not going to be raptured and taken up out of here owing people all kinds of money, hoping that we can get picked for a supervisor job. That is not going to be, we're not going to be leaving here begging. We're going to be leaving here bragging. We're going to be telling people how good our God is. Say amen to that. Now, they got an out-of-time sign up there. Just take it off, because I am not ready. I'm just getting cranked up, praise God. All right, but you see, so here's, bow down to the statue, see? But notice what happened. I'll start here at verse 16, because it got back to the king that these three Hebrews are not cooperating with this unjust law that has been made. And notice who's behind making the law. The devil is behind it, because he's trying to cultivate his kingdom. Come on, y'all. And so look what he says in verse, what did I say? 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. He said this, if it be so, the God whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we'll not serve your gods. Now, somebody read that, and they read that like this. But if God doesn't save us, that is not what that says, because if that's what it meant, the rest of the sentence shouldn't even be there. Because if you burn up, you know you won't serve his God. So that's not what he's saying. He is saying, wait a minute. He is saying, we are not careful to serve, to answer you in this matter. And I looked that up in a scripture and translation. It says, we are not worried about what's going to happen to us. And I really believe that's the key to you serving God in this last hour. Come on, you cannot be worried. Come on, worry is a type of fear. So fear will bring the thing on you that you're fearing of. So you can't fear anymore. So say no fear. So God is raising you up to no fear. How do you get rid of fear? Get more knowledge. If I can get more knowledge, if I can see what's going to happen to me if I go into the ring with Muhammad Ali, and I can see that I'm going to get this $10 million and not get touched, I'm ready to go in. But if I got a vision that me being rolled out of there on a gurney, and come on, and my head all bandaged up, my eye got knocked out of socket, and so forth, I don't know about this trip. I'm telling you, you will not be touched. I'm going to show you right here. See, if you have his commandments and keep them, it's he that loves you, and you'll be loved of us, and he'll manifest himself to you. So get ready, get ready, get ready. I'm saying you've been chosen for this round. And this is a round that you're not going to get touched, because the Holy Ghost is going to protect you, because he said, touch not and do my prophets no harm. I'm here to tell you right now, if you know nothing's going to happen to you and you're going to come out with a promotion, then step on in the ring. The battle is not yours. is keep your mouth right. You can't go in there talking about, Lord have mercy, I sure hope I... That devil going pop, pop, pop. If you go in there saying, devil, in the name of Jesus, you are under my feet. And in the name of Jesus, no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling, for he's given his angels, and they're going to keep me in all my ways. You got to say something. There's not a morning that I get up, I don't say Psalm 91, or I could count them on my one hand. I'm telling you, every morning I get up, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I sure hope the flu don't come to my house. Don't come to my house. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my house. That's my kids, my wife, and all of that. So stop thinking something might accidentally happen. Folks, there are no accidents. Everything is cause and effect. And I can cause the effect. The day for me being a statistic are over. Well, Pastor, what happened to so-and-so? Well, what happened to him? He died in a plane crash. I don't know what happened to them, but I know what's going to happen to me. No evil shall befall me, neither any plague come nigh my dwelling. Now, you got to stop somehow superimposing yourself in the light of somebody who did something or things didn't work out. That's not for you. What's for you is the truth. The truth is in this word of God. God said, let him be true and every man be a liar. Something happened that caused that. I don't know what happened, but I do know what's going to happen to me. Because I'm going to keep my mouth right. I don't care who says something about somebody said something about. Here's my answer. I'm going to answer with the word of God. If you're an ambassador, you don't say anything except what your government says. You're not legally supposed to say anything that you can't make up what you want to say. Jesus said, I never say anything that the Father didn't say. And you should be the same as Jesus. Imitate him. Praise God. Say amen to that. Now I'm saying that because the enemy comes in with deception, see, and his job is to make you say something else, to make you say what it is instead of what it's going to be. And what you got to do is go into that place and wait, I'm up in here now. Praise God, I'm going to say what God said. Now you're not coming down on people because you love people, but you love God more than you love people. So if you say that, love him, keep his commandment. So notice what they said, hey, that the God that we serve, he will deliver us. Question, do you know how he's going to deliver you? Nope, you don't know how, but you do know what? He will deliver you. I didn't know how God was going to do it when they told us you can't ever have a church in this shopping mall. We had bought the mall and they said you can't have a church in there. The city council had voted and you can't have a church in there. I didn't know. I said, Lord, we don't have any place else to have this. He said, because I made it so you're supposed to have it right there. I said, well, tell me how this is going to happen. He said, just get Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5 and go read it to the mayor. I didn't know what that was going to do, but I'm going to follow his commandments. I just went and read Romans 13. Next thing I know, boom, jumped up, made the blood drained out of the face of the person. And Reverend, I don't know what we're going to do. I just sat there. I knew something was happening. You know, it's certain times that you practice the vocabulary of silence and just shut your mouth. Just let the Lord work. Say amen. How many of you know faith is a rest? Come on, it's time for you to rest. You've been struggling too hard and come on, trying to come up with answers. Just shut your mouth and open your eyes real wide like you're ready. You're going to wait for something to happen. So I just sat there and boy, all of a sudden so forth. And next thing I know, boom. Reverend, we'll let you go in there one night. Now, everybody voted that you can't go in there, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take it upon myself to let you go, and I'll keep the police away just one night. Now, Reverend, I said, yes, ma'am. And I went on in there, and I've been in there ever since because the law changed. Now, we are changing laws. Now, don't be mad at the people. Don't get against them because they say, well, he's not going to let a black man have that. What that got to do with it? I said, what does that have to do with it? Now, I'm talking to some of you black Christians right now. Because the tendency is that you're still functioning like Babylon. And you are in the kingdom of God. Say amen to that. And when that is the case, then you don't have to be concerned about whether anybody like you or not. You don't know it. Your cousin can't stand you. And what you need to do is know that if God be for you, come on now, come on. If God be for me, who can stand against me? I'm here to shift climates. Come on, I'm a rainmaker. I'm here to do the impossible. That's why I've been born in this earth. Same with you. Say amen to that. So what happened? They threw him in the fire. Did they burn? The king looked in there and said, I thought we threw three. I see four. And the fourth one looked like Jesus. How about Daniel chapter 6? Said nobody can pray to any other God except the God of the king. And what did Daniel do? When he saw that the writing was signed, he opened the shutters. Come on now. And he began to pray openly. Come on, pray out of schools. See, something happens to the church. The church is the world's only hope. That enemy is slouching the world right into Gomorrah. And we got to cut it off. Because they can't stop the slide. We can. I said, we can. Now, I got to fully get you with the knowledge that nothing can happen to you. Because once I get that in you, you're going to become bold as a six shooter. You're going to look for trouble. You're not going to wait on it and run from it. You're going to look for it. Where's the hot spot, Dad? It's down there on the west side. Let's go. Folks, when you know that you're a winner, something happens to you. When you know if you're going to get in a fight, how are you going to come out? And nothing's going to touch you? And you're going to be promoted after the fight? Let's go. Are you following what I'm saying? So get all this other stuff off your mind. And that's what I came to tell you. I came to tell you that you were chosen. There was no mistake. I told you that old thing about chosen, how they chose. God showed me chosen. I was with the boys, you know, we were unsaved and seniors in high school. We all thought we were cute. And we were going around to different parties, you know. We got to this one party, you know, and me and two or three boys standing up talking together, and this young lady was looking at me. And I caught it out of the corner of my eye. And then I noticed she kept staring, and, you know, sharp lady. And I said, okay, let me see if she's looking at me. So I kind of backed off the guy. See if she kept me in her crosshairs, you know. And I saw she was still looking at me. I said, went back up there. I said, boys, don't know how much longer I'm going to be with y'all. Look like I've been chose. Well, I saved myself because she chose me. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Give it up. Give it up, y'all. Let them know. Let them know. Can I get an amen? I'm keeping it humorous. Because I don't want you to be afraid of anything. Now, what becomes your law to Turn to Mark chapter 5 one more time. Amen?
Amen.
Now, whatever's happened to you, God can fix it. But justice is a part of kingdom manifestation. And it's the number one target in the last days of demonic abuse. Somebody just told me some dad was trying to build a case to marry his daughter. That is some weird stuff, boy. But that's the influence of the devil. Don't get mad at people. Jesus said, forgive them, for they what? They know what they're doing. Now, I won't read all of this. It started verse 25, and there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many physicians and many things of many physicians and spent all that she had, but nothing was bettered, but rather she grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I just may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Watch this. And she straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you. How can you say, who touched me? And he looked around about her that had done this thing, and this thing, come on with the next scripture. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy what?
Faith
has made thee whole. Go in what?
Peace.
And be what?
Whole
of thy plague. Now notice what was happening. This woman, in the Old Testament, it says, if you have an issue of blood, you cannot come out of the house, or you will be stoned. Now understand, Jesus was in the process of walking with a rabbi, a leader of the synagogue. He could have ordered her stoning. But once you come out in faith, you go to a higher law. Got it? So that way, they didn't need to bow down to a statue. Or that way, when he ordered not to pray, he could pray still. And God not only will honor that, he will manifest himself. And look what she got. Totally healed of something that was incurable. Why? Because she did it by faith. So you and I, when we get born again, we placed into the kingdom, and it's a new order of living by faith. What are you listening for? God's voice. And whatever he tells you to do, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. When you do it, guess what? Not only will he manifest, but promotion will come out of that. Three Hebrews, they got promoted. Daniel, he got promoted. And you're about to get promoted too. Give God praise. That's all I've got. Now, it's very, very important to us in these last days to know that the world is looking for leadership. And what happened? I didn't talk about this during the sermon. But the world does not have a full perception of reality. They have what is known as dark knowledge. I don't care whether you got a BS or MA or PhD, it doesn't make any difference. If you don't have a God with it, you don't have truth with it. And that means that there's not a full perception of reality. And what you're doing is making decisions on intelligence and not making decisions on truth. And so what you have to do is understand that once you come in here, get God back in the picture. Now you got the whole picture. And it's amazing how your decisions will change when you see what's happening in the spirit. So this is your season. This is your time. The world is looking for you. And guess what? You're looking for them. You're not going to run from problems anymore. You're going to run to them. You're going to make the difference in people's lives. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now say this with me. I am
what the Bible
says
I am.
And I can do
what the Bible says I
can
do.
And I can do all things
through Christ,
which strengtheneth
me.
From this day forward,
fear will no longer be a part of my
life.
I walk by faith
and not by sight. The angels of the Lord
encamp around about me
and keep me in all my ways.
I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd,
and only that voice will I follow.
In Jesus' name,
I cancel every assignment
of the wicked one
to come against my life,
my family,
and my future.
And in Jesus' name,
I am successful.
I am prosperous.
I am healthy,
wealthy,
and wise.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
All right, before we leave, very quickly,
somebody here
before you move, somebody here may not know Christ, may not have ever met him. Now, you might have been like me. I was brought up in Tuskegee, Alabama. Mom and Dad took me to church and did all the religious things.